This is the BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. The people of Taiwan have defied Chinese warnings by electing a new president who has vowed to maintain the island's democracy. In his victory speech following Saturday's vote, President-elect William Lai from the ruling Democratic Progressive Party said he hoped Beijing would understand that only peace would benefit both sides. Shaima Khalil is in Taipei.
Taiwan is still going to go with the self-governing stance. It's going to continue with the 8 years of the now outgoing president Tsai Ing-wen, which is to take Taiwan away from China's orbit, away from the shadow of its control, closer to the United States, closer to other allies. And this is something that has continued to anger Beijing. Remember, Beijing calls William Lai the troublemaker, which kind of tells you what you need to know about their feelings towards him and his government. But also, I think he himself was very robust when talking about China.
President Biden has said the US has delivered a private message to Iran about the Houthi group in Yemen, backed by Tehran, and which has been attacking commercial vessels in the Red Sea. Mr. Biden said the US was very well prepared. His comments come amid reports from Yemen of another strike on a Houthi target, this time the port city of Hodeidah. More from Hugo Bashega.
The Houthis have been shaped by years of war. They are experienced. They've been trained by Iran. And I think it's fair to say that they knew that at some point a response would come, that countries, the United States in particular, would not be watching those ships being attacked, the disruption to global trade, and do nothing. And I think the Houthis probably prepared for that. People who know the Houthis say that these attacks are unlikely to stop them. They've been threatening to launch a response that they say will be strong and effective.
Thousands of Israelis, including families of hostages held in Gaza, have begun a 24-hour rally in Tel Aviv, denouncing their Hamas captors and angrily calling on the government to bring them home. Organisers said 120,000 people joined the demonstration, marking 100 days since the hostages were taken. Karen Saar was one of the protesters.
Everyone needs here is very adamant that when the gunfire, the muses cannot be silent. We have to speak up. Again, this is a government that part of it is because it's what happened is because of its fault, and they brought this mess, and they cannot be the one to fix it.
Other rallies nearby and in the city of Haifa called for the dismissal of the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. You're listening to the latest world news from the BBC in London. The US Special Climate Envoy John Kerry is leaving his role in the coming weeks to join President Biden's campaign team ahead of this year's presidential election. US media are reporting that Mr. Kerry will be tasked with pushing the climate achievements of the Biden administration. He was instrumental in helping to broker the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement during the Obama administration. The US military says two sailors are missing at sea off the coast of Somalia. A search operation is underway to locate them. Media reports, which describe the sailors as Special Operations Navy SEALs, say they were conducting a nighttime shipboarding mission when one was washed overboard by high waves. The second jumped after him, as required by military protocol. Italian emergency workers say 30 people have been injured after they fell through a ceiling at a wedding party. Five are in a critical condition. Dozens of guests were dancing on the first floor of a former Tuscan convent when the floor gave way. Ivory Coast have beaten Guinea-Bissau 2-0 in the opening game of the Africa Cup of Nations, the continent's biggest sporting event. The hosts clinched a resounding victory with goals from Seko Fofana and Jean-Philippe Crasso. Earlier, a glittering opening ceremony saw hundreds of dancers and performers take to the pitch at the stadium in Abidjan. Here's Alex Capstick.
An important victory for the hosts in a game that by and large failed to match the fever pitch excitement during the build-up. The highway filled with traffic leading to the new Stade Alassane Ouattara Olympic Stadium, named after the president, had been lined on either side by joyous fans, all of them dressed in various combinations of the national colours, orange, white and green. It was a celebration with a sense of pride that their country was ready to stage Africa's biggest sporting event. And so it seemed odd that the 60,000-seat venue was well below capacity.
Alex Capstick, BBC News.